everybody, welcome to the EFG Daily Commute. My name is Steven Dutzman. I am the host of Engaged Family Gaming, and this is my ride to work. So, thank you for your patience. I did 5 episodes, 5 days in a row, and then I immediately took a vacation. Thank you for giving me that little bit of time. My parents were gifted, unbeknownst to them, weird story, a portion of what is more or less a timeshare near the Connecticut shore. I know, the firstest of first world problems, surprise vacation spot. We go there every fall. And one would think, why would you go to the Connecticut shore during the fall? Because there are no people there. And because it's very nice to look at the ocean without hearing people screaming, let me tell you. So we did that. We played a whole lot of board games. We did not bring the Switch with us. We left it home because I didn't want... We really just wanted to focus on the board game scene. Did we play so much Saikatsu from IDW Games. If you're looking for a cool 3-player game, which is... a player count that is not normally supported, Saikatsu is absolutely perfect. That's Seikatsu. Man, it's so good. It's probably one of the prettiest games I've ever played. It has a solo variant, which, by the way, I tried it for the first time this weekend, and it is bananas hard. It's real good. We also got in... we played a game of Payday, which is a Hasbro game. It's like a different kind of Monopoly with a different feel. It's my sister's favorite game, so we played that because we wanted to, keep everybody happy. My mom crushed us like grapes. It was a great experience. We played some ninjutsu, a little card game from Jelly Bean Games. It was a great experience. I missed doing my morning commute. I pondered actually on Tuesday, which is yesterday, going for a walk and actually kind of recording it and just having it be my walk around the neighborhood. But I just didn't. Because I was too busy just chilling with the fam, you know what I mean? So, I appreciate you guys sticking with me, letting me have a couple of days off. I have no time off for the foreseeable future. So it's going to be straight on until Thanksgiving with all of us. So let's talk about some games. A lot of stuff happened this weekend. Because this past weekend was BlizzCon. Did BlizzCon have a lot of stuff coming out of it. I think the most exciting thing for me, we got a new Overwatch hero. We'll put a pin in that. We'll talk about that in a minute. But Warcraft 3 is getting remastered, and that is, I think, probably the biggest announcement for me in a while. And so Warcraft 3 is a hardcore PC strategy game, but what I think is important, and why I think this game is being remastered is really important, and it's something that I'm going to play, is that Warcraft 3 set up the story for World of Warcraft. And I didn't play it. I missed it. I didn't really have a strong enough computer to play it, and I was a console gamer then, and I still am. But considering the fact that I really have to give it to World of Warcraft as being my favorite game of all time, I've evolved a lot on this. A lot of times I used to say Final Fantasy X and others. There is no game that I want to play every day. Like, there's no game that I'm always in the mood for World of Warcraft. Even if I don't have a subscription for it, I can always just sit down and play. And some of my favorite console games have been games that have been able to help me feel what World of Warcraft does. My blind spot is that I never had any idea how the story started, or why it was the way that it was. And so having a opportunity to go in and play a remastered version of the game that set up the story, it's essentially like backstory for World of Warcraft, is I can't wait. Can't wait to play through it with my kids, because Evan is all in on World of Warcraft 2, or World of Warcraft as well. It's a big deal for us. So, I am more than happy to have an opportunity to play Warcraft 3 Rearmed, as they call it. We know that's coming out sometime next year. Super cool. Another announcement that they made, and man, do we have a lot of stuff to talk about? Am I a weird person to talk about it, being that I am just, you know, among the whitest dudes on the planet? So they announced a new character. Her name is Ash. She is, to my understanding, an offensive character. She is a woman, with kind of silver hair. She wears a duster and a cowboy hat. She fights with a bolt action, like a lever action rifle. It's kind of steampunk looking. But she also has a shotgun that she uses not only to shoot people, but also as a, you know, as a jump. So she actually has some vertical leap, which is kind of neat. Not a lot of characters in World of Warcraft do, or not World of Warcraft, different game. Not a lot of characters in Overwatch have a vertical leap. Which is cool. She looks awesome. Her ultimate is a dude. Like, she summons a guy who is essentially a teammate. He can capture objectives by himself. He can be healed. He can be nano-boosted. He is essentially an AI-controlled player, which is awesome. That's a lot of design space that had never been taken. By all accounts, she is a super cool character. She has a very high skill floor, meaning she's very hard to use. Like, they created what is essentially an advanced character, right? There's a lot to do with her. I can't wait to really get in and give it a shot. I'm terrible at video games, so maybe I won't be able to do it, but I'm still interested in giving a shot with her, maybe in, you know, maybe in some, in against bots or something like that. But here's the real problem. She is a white woman. And Overwatch has done a great job so far of having a diverse cast of interesting characters. I was talking about this with my family over the weekend, and, you know, they've done a great job of having a diverse cast of characters. However, they have some blind spots. And I think, I just saying it out loud, they added a hamster to the game. And if you don't play Overwatch and you're wondering what I'm saying, look up Wrecking Ball. He is literally an intelligent hamster that drives a spider tank into the game before they added a black woman. Now, not a black child. We have one of those. Arisa is a Omnic kind of tank that is remote controlled by, and built by and remote controlled by a young African girl who is a genius, but she's never on stage, obviously, because you cannot have a child with a gun from Africa in your shooting game. That was a brilliant move to create the character and in the story, but, like, she's not, you know, she is not a canonically black hero. They gave us a black man. We have Doomfist, right? And he is well-loved, and people were happy when they saw him. It was a great deal for representation. His cosplay has been great. He's not even, you know, he is there. And I remember when he was announced, a lot of people were happy with representation. It is time for Overwatch to have a black female character, which is neat. You know, they need to do it. They have women of Asian descent. They have two Egyptian women who are well-loved characters. You know, we have a gay character. We have, you know, it's time. And I hope that the team at Blizzard, the team that designs characters at Overwatch, I hope that they understand. You know, they have to have, and I know the way these characters work, right? You know, I've been around the industry long enough to know they've got a half dozen to a dozen characters in the tank at any one time. And they have a team of brilliant character designers. Now, I'm not saying take whatever character you have next and queue, because I'm sure they have the next two or three characters kind of queued up. I'm not saying take the next character and just paint their skin black. We don't need blackface. However, we live in Overwatch is set in a world far into the future where you can have a senator that is a robot, right? Like, there are a race of robot people. I think that at that point, they are kind of in a post-racial world, which means there is almost no character class that could not be a black woman. So let's say they want to make another sniper. I see no reason why they could not redesign that character to be a sniper, right? Whatever they're going to make, they could do this. I'll just reskin it. You know, you guys are smart. But I bet somewhere in that tank, they have a dozen characters that are at various stages of development. Some of them may just be concept art. And I am certain, based on some of the comments that they made at BlizzCon, that one of them is a black woman. How about we just put some development resources? Let's get this woman built. Let's get her put in the game. Let's put her next. You just announced Ashe. That's great. We got a new hero. Everybody's excited. People like new toys. And people are going to keep playing Overwatch. I don't think that this is an issue of, you know, this isn't going to be a big problem, right? You've just done it. Now you have time. Even if, you know, and they have a good cadence, right? I mean, they announce a character every handful of months. This game is going to have 100 characters before it's done. It's going to be insane. Let's just make the next one a black character. A black female character. You've got one. I know you've got one in the tank. Let's just put some of those thousands of Blizzard employees, maybe hire some temps, do what you got to do, get the next lady out. I'm sure she'll be great. And I'm sure she'll be, you know, I can't wait to see what you do with her. But I'm just one dude. And specifically, I am a white dude living in Connecticut. There is a, you know, there are women, young women, old women, there are women all over the world that are watching you, and they don't have the ability to play as themselves. If I wanted to be like an old fat guy, I can go play Torbjorn anytime I want, right? If I wanted to pretend like I was all jacked and stuff, I could play Soldier 76. You know, my son wants to try and be himself. He can be himself. Hell, if my daughter wants to try and be herself, she can do it, right? But there are millions of young women who can't. And that's harsh, right? Fix it. And I mean, you're going to make these characters anyway. Just do it. I believe in you. And a lot of people believe in you, but they're starting to believe in you less. So that's my message to Overwatch and the Overwatch team. Let's actually help some people be themselves and be represented in what could be their favorite game. So that's the Overwatch news. Again, they announced the cool character. I mean, the character I'm sure functions great, and the design space. But when I say design space, I mean when they create. I'll define what design space is. Like when you make a game, you know, and you set up the basic rules of what that game is, especially like a multiplayer game, right? So it's a shooter, and everybody has to have a certain number of abilities, right? And everybody has to have an ultimate. And there are tank characters that are all about kind of doing specific roles. And then there are support characters that fill a specific role. And then there are attack characters, right? Basically, when you set up the rules, there is only so much game design that is available, right? Like in a first-person game, there are certain things that you physically just cannot do. And so you have a certain amount of space. It's like a grid of design space that you can use. And so, for example, Torbjorn, we talked about him, you know, the old fat guy, right? So the design space that he occupies is that he is a character that creates turrets. He creates like an AI-controlled, stationary cannon, right? Like, so he deals damage at range from a thing that is separate from himself. But it does not move. And and it is, you know, it has certain limitations, right? But it's AI controlled in that it has a set of specific rules. It has a certain range, shoots the nearest aggressive target within that range. And that's like, it's like if-then statements, because it's literally a turret. You know, Tracer fills a specific design space, right? Like, she is fast, so they made her fast. She can dash, she can, you know, she has her various moves. Now, I am not a game designer, so I'm sure some people will talk more elegantly about this, but one piece of design space that was not used in Overwatch is kind of creating a companion that is like your boy. And that is kind of a part of you. For example, like in World of Warcraft, hunters have pets, right? That's part of the design space that they take. They are not just by themselves. They have a pet that follows them around, that can tank for them, that can do damage, that can, you know, do a number of different things. There isn't a character like that in Overwatch yet. So far, everybody has been themselves. Now, obviously, Blizzard has not decided that they want a character who always has a companion, because, you know, with the if you want to think Torbjorn kind of creates companions, then maybe that's one space. Obviously, that character, those turrets are relatively weak. They're limited, right? They can't move. They're vulnerable. So they get, in order to kind of have that, and I guess now that I'm kind of rambling, I think that's absolutely what that is. They created a character who is they created a character who has a companion. So they obviously couldn't make it too strong, so they had to make it not move, and they gave it a very serious, a specific set of if-then statements, as opposed to like true AI, right? Like, it doesn't react. So what if we had somebody with a more powerful companion, something that was an actual, was a threat in a different way? Well, obviously, one alternative and one way to make that different is to make it a, you know, instead of making it a companion that you always have, you could make it a companion that is an ultimate. Ultimates are rarer, right? As opposed to regular moves that are limited on a cooldown. Cooldown being something that is, you know, once you use the move, you have a certain amount of time before you can use it again. So an ultimate, you have to build up, you have to earn it. You have to work for an ultimate, and you really won't get too many of them within a given match. So that's limiting factor, means they created Bob. Literally, his name is Bob. He's a big bruiser-looking Omnic, which in Overwatch terms is a robot person, who hangs out with Ashe and has a, and he wears a cool bowler hat, so he's very dashing. And he is, and he fights alongside her. So he's got a, he's really cool. I can't wait to see what he does. I also think having a pair of characters leads to some potential cool skins. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of awesome space for them to use for Overwatch. You know, I think I'm going to have, the Infinite co-host on at some point soon, and we'll do like a special podcast just about Overwatch, where we kind of talk about some of the game design stuff. Maybe I'll find some other game designers to come on, and we'll talk about how interesting Overwatch is and how creating characters works within like that multiplayer space, because that's an interesting kind of thing. In other news, Blizzard, so that's part two of the Blizzard thing. I'm bouncing around a little bit, so forgive me. So again, to recap, we've got World of Warcraft rearmed. We have, we have a new Overwatch character. Her name is Ashe. We talked about her. Another announcement, we have a Hearthstone expansion. It is a troll expansion, and man, is this expansion problematic. In fact, the entire troll race in World of Warcraft is problematic, and I'm not in any way capable of talking about it, but the troll race in World of Warcraft, at this point, I think they're kind of stuck with it. I don't know how they fix it, but the troll race is kind of racist. And I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how they fix it. I don't know if they can fix it without just destroying the entire race. But man, they sure don't seem like they're trying to. But there's a new, expansion in Hearthstone, which is coming out soon. It's based on the trolls. It's based on like an arena combat kind of situation. Sounds fine. You know, we don't play a lot of Hearthstone anymore. I need to get back to it. Maybe when we start doing more streaming, we'll do that again. So the next piece, is one that ended up being, there was just a lot of controversy coming out of BlizzCon this year, which is crazy because it's a fan festival. So they announced a new Diablo game. They hyped it up. They brought in some of their hardcorest, hardcore PC fans. And they announced a new Diablo game. And the Diablo game they announced is more or less a free-to-play, gachapon-style Diablo game called Diablo Immortal that is coming out on mobile. It's not being made by Blizzard. It's being made by a company called NetEase, more or less, which is a company that specializes in mobile games. Needless to say, this being the crown jewel of the Blizzard BlizzCon keynote presentation was not the way to do it. Had they closed it with like Warcraft 3 Rearmed, I think people would have lost their damn minds. But they closed it with announcing Diablo Immortal, which pissed off a lot of fans. In fact, one of the fans that was there got onto the open mic Q&A segment after that and asked them if it was an off-season April Fool's joke. And that drew some ire from a lot of folks. Because what it did is it kind of gave a voice to the people online and some other folks who were very upset at Blizzard for not making a Diablo 4 announcement, because that's what people want. Diablo 4 is 6 years. It's been 6 years since Diablo 2, or not Diablo 2, since Diablo 3. It's been a while. That game has sold a lot. It's been constantly re-released. In fact, it was just re-released on Nintendo Switch on November 1st, and people are ready for Diablo 4. We know Diablo 4 is being developed, but people were just ready for the announcement. And Blizzard, because unfortunately they were tone deaf, they can't be perfect forever. Blizzard did not make a Diablo 4 announcement. They didn't even really say anything about it. And instead, they came out with, they made this announcement of a mobile game. Now, afterwards, they've provided some more context. They're trying to expand their universe, right? Like, they want more gamers. They want more Diablo fans. Because Diablo was, and still is relatively, a niche game. It's an action RPG, kind of a dark theme. They want more people playing it, and awareness is a big deal. And so making a mobile game that will do incredibly well in Asian markets, and in casual markets is huge, and is a very good idea from a business perspective. From a fan service perspective, not so much. BlizzCon is a bunch of hardcore Blizzard fans, many of whom take vacations and go there just because they want to be part of that Blizzard atmosphere. And Blizzard did a bad job and a disservice to them, because they could have announced Diablo Immortal in a YouTube trailer and then said, and then did an interview and said, hey, look, this is a side project. We are still working on Diablo 4. This is a side project because we see an area where we don't have a lot of games. And it's true, Blizzard does not have a lot of mobile games, with the exception of Hearthstone. And we also want more Diablo players, because we want a more robust multiplayer for the next Diablo game. We want, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And in general, I think Diablo fans would have probably been fine. But they went without a Diablo 4 confirmation. You know, a logo probably would have done well. As much as I agree with frustration, and the more I think about it as a Diablo fan, I kind of even identify with that frustration. The game looks cool. I'm probably going to play it. My wife, who is a Diablo fan, who really doesn't have a lot of time for some of that other stuff, went and started looking at bigger screen phones. She has a smaller screen phone right now. And she immediately went and was like, okay, so I guess what would happen if I switched to like the plus size Pop-Tart phone like what I have? And, you know, they made her think about it. So, I mean, this game is going to do well. And it will do great in Asia. But I have something to say about the, you know, the April Fool's guy. I don't think that it is absolutely reasonable to be upset with Blizzard. It's reasonable to be disappointed in Blizzard. But frankly, we all know being disappointed is worse than being mad. And that's the lesson here, right? Blizzard is going to, or is able to, ignore rage, right? Like, when your mom... Let's start this over, and I want to phrase this right. When your mom says she's not mad, she's just disappointed, that stings most people with empathy. Like, that hurts. When your mom is disappointed with you, she's not mad at you, she's disappointed with you, that is when you change. I remember when my mother yelled at me when I was a kid, it didn't bother me. I just let it go because she was just being irrational. She was just mad and whatever, right? It didn't change me. I just avoided that behavior and tried to deal with damage control. But it didn't teach me anything. But it's when she was disappointed with me and told me so in a calm and reasonable way, right? That's when I changed. Those were the times that I actually learned life lessons. And here we are. Fans, if you want to teach a company like Blizzard a lesson, doing shit like that, pardon my language, I should be better about this. I try and make family-friendly content, but I'm just so heated about this. Doing stuff like that, right? Coming at them and making jokes like that and raging at them and harassing developers, they're not going to learn anything. They're going to do damage control. And maybe they might take a lesson. Maybe. But not necessarily. Whereas if you come at them and you're like, hey, listen, just tell us that Diablo 4 is being made. Right? Tell us that this isn't what you think is for us. It will make a difference. Also, there's just this certain level of respect and decorum that we as society need to start having. And I think it starts with the stuff that we're engaged in, and that bleeds over into everything else. So the lesson to parents who may still be listening is, listen, let's, first off, if you're a parent and a game fan, let's set an example. If something is announced that is not for us or that we're not happy with, let's just be peaceful with what we do. You know, downvote the video, sure. But tweet something at them or, you know, make your voice heard in a way that is polite and calm and rational. Write a blog. Do your thing. Do what we do and make sure that their voice is heard. But don't be part of that, you know, pitchforks and torches, you know, going after the beast, right? Because it's not going to help. And that same mentality will bleed into everything else because we know that that pitchfork mentality doesn't help in, you know, in other parts of our life. We need to be able to deal with disappointment without rage. And that's the problem. This weekend turned into a rage fest against Blizzard. Early this week turned into a rage fest against Blizzard. And it didn't help. It just got a bunch of people mad. You know, I mean, and there was some division amongst even, you know, games journalists about whether or not the reaction was appropriate. And I firmly believe that the reaction was wrong. So, yeah, there we go. Those are my thoughts on BlizzCon. I mean, I think overall, it was a good show. They announced what we knew they were going to announce. I mean, they made some smaller announcements too, right? Like, we know that there's another patch coming to World of Warcraft with another raid, which we knew was going to happen. Blizzard is, like a machine that will continue to churn, right? It's a clock, right? It just ticks. And every year, BlizzCon comes around and they kind of take some of the same things and just make an announcement. They give us a new Overwatch character. They give us a new Hearthstone expansion. They've got their scheduled time. I hope that the anger from their fans did not drown out the voice of disappointment from some of their other fans. And hopefully they learn a little bit from this one because they've been a little bit tone deaf. And I think that it's time for them to, you know, make some changes to the way they do stuff. And maybe, just maybe, it's time for them to make Diablo 4. But hey, we get to play Warcraft 3 Rearmed next year, so I'm pretty happy about that. So, this has been a little rambly. This is obviously going to get one of those things. I'm 6 episodes in now, so hopefully you guys are along for the ride. I hope you guys have a wonderful day. I am just about to get off my exit, so I'm going to stop now. This has been the EFG Daily Commute. My name is Steven Dutzman. I am the founder of EngageFamilyGaming.com, and this has been my ride to work. Thank you much. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning, and until then, don't forget to get your family game on. Bye now.